Good morning, church. That was kind of weak, but we'll let it go. I tell you what, it was beautiful to hear all you singing. There's a young lady in this front row up here, though. She is like overpowering. Like, I love it. It just inspires me. So anyway, I don't know if you heard that. I did. I just had to say it. But it's good to be here with you, each and every one of you, and to worship with you this morning. We are going to be in the book of Acts, chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. So go there. But I was going to take me a few minutes to get there. Just go ahead and get there. Discernment is the word that I really want to focus on for the moment. We are called to be a discerning people. And as we are going through the book of Acts, chapter 13 here especially, we are looking at the Holy Spirit and the movement of the Holy Spirit. And that is kind of a strange term and understanding for us, even as Christians. And we're going to break that. Well, I'm going to break that down a little bit today. And I want you to really just focus on how is it that the Spirit is moving through us as a people? How is the Spirit moving through our church? And what do we do with that? So that's what we're going to do today. Chapter 13 marks a transition. That transition is from Peter to Saul. Saul becomes Paul. But this is the transition, and now we're going to see him in ministry, and it's going to unfold as we go further into the book of Acts. But let me ask you this question. What does it look like for the Spirit to move? What does it look like for the Spirit to move through you and through his people, his church? Is it like a warm, fuzzy feeling that we get inside and we just know now the Spirit is there? Maybe it's like you're in worship and they finally get to that third key change, and it's the key that you can hit, and you're like, yes, the Spirit is moving. Maybe it's in the song, Same God, and you get to the chorus and it's, oh God, I need you, and you are now there. And you know at that moment the Spirit is moving. Maybe for some of you it requires the Holy Spirit to knock someone out of the aisle onto the ground. And then you know the Holy Spirit's moving. But we also know in Scripture that it's not based on a feeling. Our feelings deceive us. And we have to be careful about that. So we have to now discern. And we have to look into the text and say, what does it look like for the Spirit to move? What does it look like for a church to be led by the Spirit? And I want to do that today. I want to trust the Word in what God gives us here. And then I want us to be able to move forward with that in mind. Now, I'm going to read a verse to you out of Ephesians. I want to use this as our kind of baseline premise, because I know that there are so many people in here with different backgrounds, and I want us to understand that the Spirit is at work, whether you see it or feel it or not. If you are a believer, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but we also see in Scripture a picture of what it means to be filled with the Spirit, and that is different. The only example, the simplest example I can give you is like this bottle of water. This bottle is you, and what little water is left. In last service, there was more, but I was thirsty. And that's the Spirit. An outside source comes along with more water, pours water in, and overfilling, we have full of the Spirit. That's something that God does, not you or I. But still, there's a picture in Scripture of what that looks like. We see in chapter 6, Stephen, a man full of the Spirit. In chapter 9, we see Paul, a man full of the Spirit. In chapter 13 of Acts, we see Barnabas, a good man who was full of the Spirit. And so it's something that is evident to the people around, being Spirit-led. And I want to look at that today. I think that we owe it to ourselves to understand what it looks like for the Spirit to be at work. And are we a part of it or not? So baseline verse, Ephesians 1:18. I pray that your hearts, this is coming from Paul, who is a man full of the Spirit, so he has something to tell us about what it means to be full of the Spirit. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. And I think every one of us in this room could say, I want to live this life. I want to walk this life knowing what it's like to have confident hope all the way through, no matter what. And I think every one of us in this room, we want to be able to walk this life and know, not just here, but right here, that we are a holy people in his eyes, that we are the Lord's rich and glorious inheritance. I tell you, that's how I want to live every day of my life, in the lows and in the highs, it doesn't matter, and everywhere in between. That I am his rich and glorious inheritance. And so I think we can start there as a baseline, that we can start on that page. We want that. And if we can walk through this life with that kind of confidence in the Lord, that kind of confident hope, knowing the kind of treasure that we are to him, not only will our life be changed, but the lives around us will be changed. Absolutely. So none of us in this room would say, Lord, you're doing too much. You're doing too much of a good thing through me right now. I need you to slow down so I can have a breather. We don't see a picture of that in Scripture. Now, we understand having too much of a good thing. The other night, I took my kids to get some ice cream. I made them get the small ones. Mine was a little bigger. You just go in for a small cup of ice cream and you leave eating a pint. I thought this was going to be great, and then I walk out hurting. I didn't really have a pint. But we can have too much of a good thing, but when we look in Scripture, that's not so when it comes to the Spirit. Not at all. You never see a picture of people filled with the Spirit complaining that they have too much of God in them, too much Spirit. And so I think it would be fair to say that we all want to be moved by God's Spirit, and we don't want it to stop. But again, where we come from, we don't fully understand what that looks like and what that means. And so we struggle remembering. Understandable, it is. But we're still called to it. So three questions that I want to answer today as we go through the text in Acts chapter 13. Number one, what does it look like for a church to commit itself to the power and oversight of the Holy Spirit? What does it look like? I think the next question, though, is a very fair question that we would ask ourselves. How can I know if it's truly the Spirit, that the Spirit is truly moving? It's not fabricated. It's not people just putting on their best smile, doing good deeds, but it's really the Spirit that's at work. And then number three, if we can really grasp the first two, the natural question would be, what can I then do in my life to cultivate an environment that is conducive to the Holy Spirit's movement? Because I want to be a part of it. So what do I have to do? And this is a message I am preaching to myself right now. To me. So let's shoot over to the book of Acts, chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and they sent them off. Verse 4, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. There's a lot going on in this text. But right here, what we have, question number one, what does it look like for a church to commit itself to the power and to the oversight of the Holy Spirit? I think we have an answer. So this is the first thing I want you to notice. We're in Antioch, and this is a hub for people from all different kinds of cultures to come. We have men coming to this church that have come 200 or 300 miles to be a part of this movement. They have different minds, different backgrounds, different understandings of best practice when it comes to business. And you see them making unified decisions, trusting the Lord. This is not an easy thing to do. And yet it's happening here. Men that are very equipped, very qualified in a sense, and they trust that the Lord, the Spirit, is telling them, set apart for us these two men. That we want to send these two men out. That, I mean, that could create bitterness, anger, animosity. Why didn't you choose so-and-so? We've all been there. I've done that. And yet in unity, they are making a decision. And the second part of that is their language. These are men that are newer in the Lord in a sense. Pentecost wasn't that long ago. And their language, which is uncommon to everyone else, they have adopted, they have owned it, and they are talking like the Spirit said. Is that not strange and weird? Well, the Spirit said to me the other day, what? Come again? And this is what they're doing. They're trusting that the Spirit says. In fact, if you look at verse 3 and 4, and the reason why we went into verse 4 is because it says in verse 3, after they fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. They sent them off. These men sent them off. But the very next verse says, so being sent off or sent out by the Holy Spirit. These men were at work, but it was actually the Holy Spirit doing the work. It was actually the Holy Spirit doing the sending. But what is it then that these men are doing which allows them to trust the movement of the Holy Spirit and for the Holy Spirit to be working in that moment? So these men come together, and this is what it says. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, and you go down a little further, and it says they were praying, and then they laid hands on them. Laying hands is, Lord, come into this situation. We're inviting you in. Come in. Be here. Be present right now. Be present. So they're inviting the Lord in, and they're simply following. This is what the Lord has called us to do, and what is that? To be worshiping together. To be fasting, making a huge sacrifice, taking your mind off of one thing, putting it on another. And I think we're going to get into that subject in the future so we have a better understanding of it. And then they are praying. And this isn't praying like supper time prayer. Now, I don't want to, nothing against supper time prayer. We do it at home. But this is a kind of before the Lord, take control, take over the moment, Lord. Be here, be present. We need you. We're desperate for you to speak to us. And they trust through their unity that the Lord is calling Saul and Barnabas, men who are full of the Spirit, to do this work. And that is a picture of what it looks like when a church is being led by the Spirit. And I think it's beautiful. And I think it's happening here in this place. But I think the question, even if it was here or anywhere else, that would naturally follow, how do I know? How can I trust that it is the Spirit that is actually moving and not men fabricating? And I think that's a fair question to ask. There's nothing wrong with that question. Because you may be thinking, I can't ask that because then I feel bad. Be honest with the Lord. He already knows your thoughts. Here I am. I'm not trusting here. But I think there's an answer to this question. How can we know if the Spirit is truly leading? Ephesians 5:18. Go with me there. Now, Saul was sent. He's a man that is full of the Spirit. So I think you and I could then trust the words of what it looks like for the Spirit moving through leadership, through a congregation, through you, if the man who is called Paul, who is filled with the Spirit, says so. Verse 18, chapter 5, Ephesians. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that look like? Verse 19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the picture that Paul gives to the church in Ephesus of what it looks like for the Spirit to be moving. Now, you and I could say, I don't know about this Psalms thing and hymns and speaking in such ways, and I would understand if you had an issue with that and that you just don't understand it, don't get it. Let me just reframe this for a moment. These are hearts that have moved away from self-centeredness, and they are now hearts that are singing praises to the Lord. They're seeing beauty. They're seeing change. They're seeing movement, and they want to be a part of it. It is self-sacrificing. It is surrendering. And then it becomes their speech. They care about the person next to them so much that they speak in uplifting ways. And I guarantee you, in this church, there are people that have checkered pasts. And yet it doesn't change their tone, and it doesn't change the hope, and it doesn't change the language, the love, the Spirit-filled talk. And so when you look at your fellow people here at the church, when you look at your leadership, do I see a picture of this? And some of you may say, I don't know people well enough, and that's okay, be patient. And if this is one of your first times here, I'm fresh on staff. And so I do have perspective, and I know that I can't use that term forever. It's going to have to be thrown out the door sometime, but I get to use it today. I see the Spirit moving in this place. I see the extraordinary in this place. I am surrounded with it every day, and it's changing my life. But we still have to trust the Lord. Do we speak to one another as the Lord has called us to speak? As the Apostle Paul has said, this is how you speak. This is what it looks like. And you can't fabricate that. You can do it on your own for a short time, but you will grow tired. You will grow weary. This is something that has been instilled in you by the Spirit. By the Spirit of God. And this is a picture of what it looks like. Even though we struggle with it, this is what we have to do. Lord, it's the picture you've given us. And I'm struggling with it. I don't trust people. Maybe like you're calling me to trust people. But Lord, do something in me so that I can. So that I will. In fact, this is how it kind of breaks down, guys. We kind of fit into two different categories. One would be like, okay, I hear what you're saying, Ryan, but here's the problem with that. We live in America, and in America, we have to have this really good quality business plan, and without that business plan, I don't think we can be successful, but you're talking about trusting the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. I get it. The Lord gets it. It's just who we are. But this is a calling to trust him, to step outside of our comfort zone. But then there's the other side where, like I said a minute ago, there's a real struggle with trust, especially today. And I just don't know, Ryan, if I can allow myself to trust in that way. And I would say to you, I get that. I do. But it also says it right here. It gives us a picture of what it looks like. And so you and I have the responsibility to say, Lord, I'm struggling, but here I am. Here I am. I am yours. I don't fully understand everything your word has to say. I don't fully understand everything Ryan's talking about, but I know that it's in your word, and I want to trust you, and I want to follow you, and I want to be filled by your Spirit. Who wouldn't want to live life that way? I want it. But come and do your work, I invite you in. I want you to be present. If we are going to see the Spirit move, if you are going to see the Spirit move, it will be within that rhythm, that posture. Which begs the third question. If I can embrace one and two, then what do I need to do to put myself in a position biblically so that the Lord can cultivate an environment conducive to the Holy Spirit's movement in my life? Now, let me start with two things. Number one, the Spirit will move as the Spirit wants to move. There is no 2 + 2 = 4. There's no equation that you can follow that guarantees that the Holy Spirit will be overflowing, in a sense, in your life. That is His decision, not ours. I know that's a struggle, but that is how it is. But in Scripture, I do see the men and women who are full of the Spirit, how the church is moving, and there is something we can harness here. Let me rephrase it this way. I want to put myself in a position biblically that is well suited for hearing and the leading of the Holy Spirit. I want to put myself in position, Lord, so that you can do what you want when you're ready to. I want to be ready. I want to be ready to receive, Father. I want you and I need you, so what do I need to do to be prepared? Let me give you four things. Number one, you have to start here. You have to begin here. Invite the Lord in. You have to at least be saying, here I am, Lord, and I invite you in. In my brokenness, shallow, deceitful life, here I am. Now, I say those first three things because I think another thing is important, and it's not number two here. But you have to be honest and open with the Lord. Plenty of times in my life, in ministry, I have said, Lord, here I am. But there's this caveat back here. I want something out of this. And I just acknowledge it, and I say, Lord, I don't want to hide it from you. Here it is. You do what you want with it. But I'm just showing you that I'm aware of its presence. Because if you think I have to get rid of all selfishness before I can go to the Lord and say, fill me, you're never going to get there. It's never going to happen. But Lord, here I am in my brokenness. I want to be used by you, and I want to be a part of the movement. And so check, number two, your heart's posture. Lord, I want to be a part of what you're doing, not just for my gain. My gain would be, Lord, I want to be a part of it, and I want to experience what you're doing. But Lord, I want to do it for your kingdom's sake, for your glory and your honor, and I see how you're moving, and I just want to be there. Which leads me to number three. Plant yourself where you see the Spirit already moving. This is a Henry Blackaby concept, if you know who that is. Instead of trying to reinvent the wheel or standing off to the side, I'm not doing anything until the Lord does something in my life. Well, fine. You rest there for a while. But it isn't going to produce the fruit you would hope. Look for where the Spirit is moving. Again, go back to chapter 6 of Acts, chapter 9, chapter 13, and it clearly tells us that there were men and women that were full of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you could see it. You could see the difference. Plant yourself where you see the Holy Spirit moving. Put yourself in that position. Put yourself alongside of Paul, alongside of Barnabas, alongside of the Stephens. The Spirit is moving in this church. Put yourself in position. The Spirit is moving in the community. Put yourself in position. But you're going to have to do a fourth thing in this process. And I think it is the most difficult if these first three weren't already difficult. And that is trust. Proverbs 16:4 says this: the Lord works everything out to its proper end. And you and I, we have to trust that. In the highs and in the lows, it doesn't matter. We have to trust that the Lord will work all things out. And I am saying that to you today, knowing full well I am preaching to my own heart. That there are days where I struggle and I think, Lord, where are you? And he's right there. Just because I can't feel him doesn't mean he's not there. And so, Lord, I am giving myself over to you and I am trusting you that you know what's best and that when the time is right, you will work. Some of you need to hear this today, though, as well. You're a believer in Christ in this room. There's some of you here that may not know Christ yet. You're just here. And God works in crazy ways because let me tell you this. You are here today because he has called you here today. Whether you embrace that or not, that is up to you. It's just what we see in Scripture. You are here today. He is moving in your life. It doesn't take full of the Spirit to move in your life. We just can't see it sometimes because we have allowed ourselves to be blinded because of the weariness and challenges of this life. That is to be human. But the Lord is at work. He is moving in your life. He is doing extraordinary things through you, whether you see it or not. But Lord, I also see that there's this thing called full of the Spirit, and I want to be in that lane. I yearn for it. I want to be a part of what you are doing, Lord. And I am so easy for me to look at the negativity and the challenges of life, take my eyes away from those things and show me, reveal to me what you are doing. I want to live in that confident hope. And so you and I have an option today as the Lord has called you here, and that is, Lord, simply Lord, I'm answering the call. You're calling me in. You're calling me to trust you, to trust your Spirit, to put my hope and trust in your Son, to continue walking that path saying, I will not let go. Highs or lows, it doesn't matter. I am trusting that you are moving. I'm going to end with this. I'm going to go right back to, I am the fresh new guy with a little bit of perspective. And I need you to hear this today because I don't know where all of you are at in your relationship with the Lord. I don't know where you're at with the struggle of your heart. 6 months or so now I've been here and I am seeing the Lord move, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit move in extraordinary ways in this place, through this place. I break that down simply into three different categories. I see Madison Park making change, life change throughout our community. Invested in people's lives. Moving the dial. Not because we're Madison Park, but because the Lord is moving. The Spirit is moving. But I also see it here in this place with you and I and the things that we're doing in this family. The Lord is changing lives around through a gospel-centered approach to the Word and to life. And thirdly, I've never in my life seen a church so generous, not in all my life, as I see here. And then the Lord just keeps filling the cup, filling the cup, filling the cup. And he has called you here to be a part of it. A church that is led by the Spirit. And I know the Spirit is leading all over the place and on the mission field and different missions here in town, different churches, but it is evident here. You have the opportunity to say, yes, get me on board. You have the opportunity to say yes to Jesus, yes to His Spirit, and yes to His calling. But you have to make that decision. Not me. I've made my decision. Join me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are your children. We are yours. Father, I am here blessed to be in the presence of my brothers and sisters. And Lord, when it comes to a confident hope and knowing that we are your inheritance, rich and glorious, I know my brothers and sisters in this room say yes to that. Fill us with that every day, Lord. Bring us together. Unify us, Father, in thought. Help those who are struggling to see right now, to see clearly right here, right now, in this place, Lord, the work that you are doing in the church and in their life. Raise up your Spirit in this place, Lord. We need it. We need you. It's in your precious name that we pray. Amen. You stand for worship.